Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and oh yeah, sometimes the international. And like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number three. And I'll just remind you guys that we've got a lot of things happening out there in the world that sometimes come in through the back door. And I'm doing this whole next dipper called Over Your Shoulder. There's a lot of backdoor ways that liberals are trying to do what I would call conditioning your behavior. And they're also doing what's called viewpoint discrimination, which is the legal term for basically saying, despite the fact that you have a right to feel the way you do, we don't want you to feel the way you do, so we're going to discriminate against you. Well, there's several ways this is happening. You've got situations like debanking, which we'll get into more in detail in a moment. You've got stuff like, did you know that your apps and or your connected car devices may be sending data to your insurance companies that could get you blacklisted for the way you drive? And oh, by the way, did you know that there are red flag laws out there that are simply ways of passing laws to prevent you from buying guns because somebody somewhere thinks maybe you shouldn't have one? All of this stuff is what I would call looking over your shoulder to see what you're doing. It's like sitting on a plane, you realize the person next to you is reading your screen on your laptop. It's just invasive. It's wrong. So that being said, let me start with this. Debanking is a big deal. And somebody who has experienced it firsthand is our own Alabama State Auditor, Andrew Sorrell. Andrew Sorrell served as a member of the Alabama House of Representatives. He was elected this past election season to a term as a state auditor and is doing a great job. He's got a piece that came out on 1819 News that talks about him being debanked personally and why it shouldn't be allowed to happen. So without further ado, Andrew Sorrell, state auditor, how you doing?
Phil, it's good to be on with you. This is an important topic, and it's really seen quite a big uptick over the last few years, so I appreciate you getting me on to talk about it.
Yeah, man. Well, I appreciate you making time, and I think I've talked enough. You go ahead and lay it out there. What happened to you, and how'd you put all the pieces together on this?
You know, normally when I go on the radio to talk about an issue, I'm talking about an issue that honestly doesn't necessarily affect me personally. It affects other people or citizens in Alabama, you know, some constitutional right we're defending or whatever. No, this one really hits home with me because it happened to me.
Yeah.
It didn't have anything to do with the fact that I was an elected official or anything. It had nothing to do with that. It's the fact that I owned a gun store. That's what it was. So debanking is when a bank or an insurance company, credit card processor in my case, decides that they don't want to do business with you because they don't like the type of business that you're doing. So this happened to me in three stages over three different years. The first stage was we had a credit card with a large national bank. If I said the name, everybody would recognize it instantly. You see the commercials all over TV. We had a very large credit line with them. We did a lot of business with them, especially in the early days when we were trying to get our business up and off the ground. One day we received a letter from them. They were dropping our credit card. No explanation, just in 30 days we're closing your account. You can continue making minimum payments, or you can pay it off, whatever you want to do, but you can no longer charge or close in your account.
So
and I thought, well, that's odd.
Just out of the blue.
We've never missed a
payment.
Correct.
Gosh.
Yeah. Okay. We were an excellent customer of this large bank, and we were quite confused by it. Never crossed my mind that it had anything to do with the fact that we were a gun store at the time. So we just went and got a different credit card somewhere else and moved on with life until the next year. When our credit card processor sent us a letter saying, we're dropping you in 30 days. Again, no explanation. Now, the credit card processors, again, we're a great customer for them. You know, we're doing about $1 million in revenue at each of our two stores. They're getting a cut on that. Any of the transactions that aren't cash sales are getting a cut on. And they're making great money off of us. Why would a credit card processor drop our business?
Yeah.
And it's not even like we're not paying the bill. Like, they withhold their own payment from our bill. You know what I'm saying? Like, we were great customers for both of these two entities. So at this point, we're starting to get a little bit suspicious. So like, what is going on here? And we said, we can't risk this happening again. We need to go to a local bank. We bank with First Metro Bank in Florence. We went to a small local bank where I know the people. They're not woke. I literally know the owner. I went to high school with his son, right? We set up credit card processing services with a local bank. So, all right, we got that fire put out. Until the next year, when another letter came from our insurance company dropping us.
My
and
gosh.
I was like, what is going on? It's like, we can't do business for all the other companies that don't want to do business with us. So we called our insurance broker and we said, you know, can we price out get another insurance? And by the way, why do you think they dropped us? And his comment was, oh, they're dropping all the gun stores.
Oh, yeah.
And then it all clicked. It all made sense. We're being debanked for political purposes. We're operating a legal business, but they don't like the kind of business that we're in, so they're just not going to do business with us anymore. So that's my own personal debanking story. But Phil, the scary thing is, you know, somebody like me, at least if I write an op-ed about it, 1819 News will publish it statewide, gets a lot of attention, a lot of coverage. What happens when the average Joe gets debanked?
Yeah.
Right? It's not a politician. How is that person supposed to tell their story or supposed to fight back? And this brings to mind the story of Nigel Farage, the Brexit leader in Great Britain, who was debanked for the exact same reason. They were mad. The big woke corporations were mad at him for leading the Brexit charge, and they decided at the same time to debank him. Unfortunately, they had some open records laws and stuff over there. He was able to get the files, copies of the files where they debanked him. They're talking emails back and forth about how they're going to do this. And their conclusion was Nigel Farage is unlikely to go to the media with this story because it would be personally embarrassing for him to say that he had been debanked. And he said, they don't know me at all.
I've met him briefly, and that is absolutely not who he is. One of my favorite speeches is his speech to the EU right after the Brexit vote. But, you know, I'm going to tell you what, you're telling me something that I have heard from other places. We had a major gun accessory provider, manufacturer, that was thinking about advertising on Right Side. And right as they were about to, the guy had to contact me and goes, hey, man, the banking thing has gotten crazy for us. And I think we're in a position right now where I've got to reassess everything for the moment. And it was because of the exact same things you're talking about around the same time frame you're talking about. All of the ESG scoring and everything else got crazy for a while there. And corporations just gave in to this. And the idea is basically that the consumer means nothing to us anymore. It's all about getting our ESG score up.
Yeah, that's right. And now let's be fair. I want to give a little bit. It's not all just the big banks going woke. The big banks themselves are being pressured by, you know, the government, by the FBI in the case of Twitter. You remember when Twitter files came out, the FBI had basically said, hey, can you suppress these people's? We don't want, you know, make sure their reach doesn't go anywhere. We don't want people seeing what they're posting. So they're being influenced by the government. And then, I mean, let's not forget about the Operation Choke Point back in, what was that? It was the Obama administration,
right.
2014 era.
Right.
And the FDIC and the Office of the Comptroller of the Currency warned financial institutions that doing business with ammunition sellers, coin dealers, et cetera, increased their risk of fraud, hint, hint, stop doing business with them. And, I mean, that is literally the government just telling big banks to debank their own customers. So they're getting pressure as well. But my position is, you know, as a conservative, you don't like to tell businesses who they have to do business with and whatnot. But my first comment to that would be, well, first of all, we already say business can't discriminate. You can't not do business with somebody because they're African-American. You can't choose to not do business with them because they're a female. How about you can't not choose to do business with them because they're exercising their constitutional right to sell firearms?
Yeah.
I think it's a discrimination issue. And number two, we bail these big banks out with taxpayer money every time they get into trouble. Okay, so if you're too big to fail, then you're not too big for us to tell you that you can't debank conservatives.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, you can pretty much guarantee that there were no credit cards shut off at abortion clinics or medical marijuana sales. They're just, you know, they can still process just fine in some of these institutions where you can you know, have all the vices of life, but the idea that a constitutionally protected sale of a firearm draws the ire. It just flies in the face of both common sense and good business practice. Listen, I happen to know that the Attorney General Steve Marshall is part of a fight against this. What do you know about that?
Well, I know a little bit about it. Oddly enough, I had lunch with Steve Marshall today. It's funny you mention him. We sat there for about an hour and a half and chatted, and I saw in his office before I came over, you may remember this, his Conservative Policy Warrior Award from 2020, which was the same year I got my award back when you worked at the Alabama Policy Institute.
Yes.
So we had a nice little reminiscence about that. But I believe he signed on to a coalition of 15 state attorneys general, sending a letter to the Bank of America CEO, Brian Moynihan, for conditioning access to its services on customers having the bank's preferred religious or political views.
Yeah.
So same type thing. So he's actively engaged in this fight. We actually talked about this. I asked him if he had read my op-ed. He had not seen it yet, but he said he was going to go read it after we left for lunch. But yeah, we're lucky to have Steve Marshall in this state because, you know, every time I read an article about what he's doing, I agree with it. I'm like, I'm so thankful for him speaking out on issues like this.
Yeah, a lot of folks don't realize that an attorney general is not just there to prosecute crimes. He's there to defend the interests of the state sometimes, too. And this would be one. On writ large, this is a defense of the interests of the citizens of the state who don't deserve not to get debanked for simply having a belief or a position or a lawfully opportunity to sell something like a gun.
And I think we should also mention there's a case for the U.S. Supreme Court right now. I talk about it in the op-ed. The New York State Department of Financial Services Superintendent Maria Volo, who issued a statement to banks suggesting they should cut ties with the NRA and other Second Amendment advocacy organizations so they might suffer, quote, reputational risk. And I noted it was kind of like Don Corleone saying, oh, it'd be a shame if something bad happened to that nice business of yours, you know? And these organizations took the signal and discontinued their relationship with the NRA. And that case is before the Supreme Court right now.
It's basically
a de facto blockade of gun sales.
That's such a great analogy, too. It'd be a shame if something happened to this nice business. Yeah.
I don't get the accent right, but yes, that's...
bring the cannoli.
That's exactly what right.
All right. Well, listen, State Auditor Andrew Sorrell, you are a policy warrior. We appreciate you. Thank you for sharing your personal insights and... I need to get you and Nigel Farage on the show together sometime. That'd be awesome.
That would be amazing.
All right. Listen, you have a great day. Keep us posted if you hear anything new. All right.
Yes. Thank you so much for having me on.
All right. Take care. All right. We're going to take a break right now, but I'm going to continue this thread because, folks, I mean, right there, there's a situation where banks are looking over a business's shoulder and saying, huh, you appear to be doing things that we've decided to take a stand against, so we're just going to make your business life miserable. I got more examples. You're going to want to hear it. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.